whatever the seven thunders uttered, only John had it. Only John had it because he was not permitted to write. Therefore, anybody going to give the revelation of what the seven thunders are saying, you will need a lot of work to do to convince people like us who take the Bible as the final authority. But we have keys in the Bible that gives us understanding under the Issachar anointing. Let me correct you again. All of us, enter-messy believers, including me, we have taught that the ministry of William Branham is the shout, and that the midnight of Christianity is the Laodicean church age. I have taught it wrongly. It is wrong. The shout was the restoration of the three works of grace. The shout was to come out from somewhere, come out of the dark ages. And the shout started with Martin Luther. Let's pick our text where we are looking at today. Revelation chapter 10, verses 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. And a rainbow was upon his head. And his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open. And he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. And may the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. God bless you. Be seated. We want to continue from where we stopped last Sunday. The understanding of where we have read in verse 2. He had in his hand a little book open. The book was now open. And he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth. And that mighty angel, in our teaching, we want to know who that mighty angel is. And he stands up. The mighty angel with a rainbow, which the rainbow was upon his head, his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. The emphasis there is that he was a mighty angel. That makes him an archangel. We want to know who this archangel is. He is not Angel Michael, neither is he Angel Gabriel. With the book on his hand, one leg on the sea, the other leg on the earth, and he cried, that is, he shouted with a loud voice as when a lion roared. And when he had cried, something happened. Seven thunders uttered their voices. And we want to know what those seven thunders are. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered and write them up. Write them not. So, whatever the seven thunders uttered, only John had it. Only John had it because he was not permitted to write. Therefore, anybody going to give the revelation of what the seven thunders are saying, you will need a lot of work to do to convince people like us who take the Bible as the final authority. Amen. But we have keys in the Bible that gives us understanding under the Issachar anointing. Hallelujah. Like they tried to celebrate the birthday of Jesus Christ on the 25th of December. Jesus was not born on the 25th of December. They had a meeting and they agreed according to their response to us why they choose that date. But in the Bible, there's a key for us to know the season, the period that Jesus was born. We will know the month he was born. We may not know the date, but we know the month he was born. And if we take time and look back very well and do a lot of research, you will get the date, because there were definite actions that took place. Praise the Lord. And concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, he said, the day nor the hour, no man knoweth, but we will know the season. And that is what this seven thunder teaching, or a review, because we have spoken so much about it, a review is to enable us to know. What these revelations help us to do is it gives us a bearing. We are not groping in darkness. We know who we serve, we know who we believe, we know where we are coming from, we know where we are going. We even know where we are now in the journey from earth to glory. That's why we are called the bride of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. So listen carefully as I continue. I don't want to waste time. I discovered last Sunday that in my attempt to give a complete picture, I went too far from the main topic. I've decided that let me go straight to what the seven thunder is all about. How we arrive there, we will get to know it, because in view of the realm that the Lord is taking us in, the knowledge, the revelation of his divine agenda, and correcting by the word some of the things we have taught before, there is need to review many of these teachings. Praise the Lord. There is need to review many of these teachings. So we will look at, after today, we will review the book of Revelation again. Let's look at this book of Revelation again and have a proper understanding. Hallelujah. So we're looking at the seven thunders. The seven thunders, and this is the part two of it. Or you are hearing us for the first time, please go to where we started to try to build a picture. We couldn't reach here. Remember that in the revelation of the seals that we looked at last Sunday, the sealed book, the book that was sealed, I explained what it is, and each seal was open, and the meaning of that seal in Revelation chapter 6. Seal number 1 was open, we saw what happened. Seal number 2 was open, we saw what happened. And seal number 3 was opened. Seal 1 was open, and one of those four beasts in Revelation chapter 4 told John, come and see. Praise the Lord. And let me quickly correct the followership of the ministry of William Branham. William Branham is not the man that opened the seals. Listen very well. Contrary to what we are taught and what we have been preaching, William Branham is not the one that opened the seals. The seals were opened. When was it? 80 what? At the Isle of Patmos. Listen. The long after the death of Christ, because his death in Revelation chapter 5 enabled him, empowered him, gave him the authority, qualification to go and collect the sealed book. And it is the opening of those seals, amen, that God enabled John to see. The seals were opened by Christ himself. Hallelujah. But whatever was seen when the book, the seals were opened, they were symbols. Symbols. The book of Revelation is a book of symbols. But what William Branham did, and before William Branham came, praise God. Hallelujah. Before William Branham came, there were theologians. Here I hear that God gave insight to the meaning of those symbols that were seen when each seal was open. One of those that God enabled or gave the privilege, the revelation to understand is the man Clarence Larkins in 18 something. And what I'm saying, I have stopped repeating just what people say when I've not confirmed. Hallelujah. I have the books. I have the books of Clarence Larkins. They are not sold in bookshop. You have to order them specially. I order them from America. And I have them in my library. You want to see it? I can borrow it, but you will sit down and read it in my front. You will take the book away. Or I give you the same way I order, you can order your own too. But they were there, hidden there. One of the things that the ministry of William Branham is to do is the perfecting ministry. Therefore, one of the things supposed to do is all these things that have been hidden here and here, bring them out together as a full course meal to the bride. Hallelujah. And the teaching that we have been teaching, that no man knew the revelation until 1963. And I have said it here too. And I apologize for that error. I was repeating what somebody I respected was teaching. But when I came back and God enabled me to see that before William Branham taught it, there were other people that taught it. And I should be humble enough, except I am an idolater, idolizing a man so much until even when he makes mistake, I cannot say he has made mistake. William Branham can make mistake. In fact, not can, he made mistakes. Praise the Lord. But there is only one mistake he didn't make. It was not a mistake that he brought us back to the Bible. That one was perfectly correct. And that is the ministry he had. And no other thing, no other ministry he had. What makes him a prophet to this age is that he is given, thus said the Lord, to lead the people that were taken away from the Bible back to the Bible, to bring the Bible back to us again in a full course. Hallelujah. That is a perfecting ministry. And if you look at that ministry beyond this, then you will also grow up in confusion. And for saying this, I am hated. Praise the Lord. If you want to have enemies, then speak the truth. Amen. I may be rude in speech, certainly not in knowledge. And my prayer every day is that I will not mislead my followers. So if I find out I make a mistake, I will bring you back. Say, Abek, see the correct road. Let's follow here. I make a mistake. And it is pride that will make a man not to accept when he notices he's wrong. That is what the denominations are guilty of. Adeboye knows, Kumuyi knows that correct water baptism is in the name of Jesus Christ, including Olukoya. You see me, I'm calling names confidently. They know. But they have gone too far in their error. They cannot come back and say, this is correct. And you better repent because you are misleading the people. Olukoya, you are misleading the people. Adeboye, you are misleading the people. You are teaching the justification wrongly, wrongly. Their sins are not remitted. They can't go to heaven. You have been hearing me. Send for me now. I will come, Adeboye. I will come, Olukoya. I will come. I will come. We will look at the scriptures. I'm not saying this to run you down. Your members come here regularly. They hear me. They see the correct thing. They come here and get baptized and go back. I'm not telling you that they should come and be our members. You too, come and let me rebaptize you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We are living by faith in Jesus above. We are trusting and confiding in His great love. From all I'm saying, in His sheltering hand, I'm living by faith. Only reason a man of God gets angry when he is offended is because he's not in the ministry to lead people to heaven. He is in the ministry to build his own personal kingdom. If it is for the kingdom's sake you are gathering people, this is our guide, the Bible. The Bible. And if I point you to the Bible and you get angry until you want to kill me, it is evidence that the same spirit that is on Cain is the same spirit that is on you. Oh, that is the truth. Because you are supposed to repent when your sins are pointed out, not to be angry. But I'm saying this because even within the entire message circle, it's worse than the denomination. Worse. Worse than the denomination. They try to denominate this entire message, but we say, lie, lie, we will not be denominated. Listen carefully because I am watched and listened to from all over the world. Let's go to the teaching. These seals, number one, was open. We see what is spoken there. Seal number two was open. We see what is happening. Where we are today, the Church of Jesus Christ, we are under seal number three. The seal number three, let's read it. Which scripture is that? Seal number three. Chapter 6, Revelation chapter 6. This is that horse rider is now. Seal number three is verse 5. Revelation chapter 6. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, what did he say? That is the spirit of revelation. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances, scales, where you measure, where you trade with, where you sell your market, in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see, thou hot not the oil and the wine. And I said that under this seal, number three, you will notice that there is a revival here. This is the dark ages. This is when the church came to the point of the dark ages where Christianity was married to paganism and fulfilling the parable that Jesus Christ gave in Matthew chapter 13 verse 33 of the woman that took the three measures of meal and mixed it with leaven until the whole was corrupted. And those three measures of meal is the justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the three works of grace that every Christian must undergo if you will be perfected, you will be qualified for heaven. Three works of grace. And they replace it with their own doctrines and replace it with the doctrines of men. And that is the period we began to hear of the deeds of the Nicolaitans. And that is the period where all this nonsense, you know, crept into the Christian faith. But if you notice in verse 6, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny and three measures of barley for a penny. This, then the last statement, and see, thou hot not the oil and the wine. In the midst of that darkness, in the middle of that darkness, at the midnight of that darkness, there was a revival that sprang up. Like I said last week. Now, that revival is the midnight cry of Matthew 25 verse 6. Let's read it from verse 1 for the purpose of emphasis. It says, then here is future at that time, shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And the lamp there is the word of God. And five of them were wise, and five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, and our bridegroom is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the story of the church. It's a church history. They all slumbered and slept. That produced, and it's always in the night you sleep. And that is the dark ages. And verse 6, my emphasis. And at midnight, the middle of that darkness, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out. You were inside somewhere. Go ye out to meet him. And verse 7 is the response that is still going on till now. That midnight cry, hallelujah, began the coming of the Lord. He starts with the restoration ministry. And so we see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, let's read it from verse 13. So we get a complete picture to verse 16. It says, but I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Asleep here are believers who die. We don't say a Christian is dead. He's asleep because there shall be a resurrection morning. Hallelujah. That you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also we sleep in Jesus. Who sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, By the word of the Lord, it's not our imagination. God himself spoke it. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. This is how the resurrection will take place. These are the stages that the rapture will take place. The rapture will go through a process. For the Lord himself, it is himself by the Lord, he himself doing it, shall descend from heaven with a shout. With the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. When that is done, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, let's look at those stages now. The stages. There are three stages there. The shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. Correct? Now, let's look at that first one now. Is the shout. This shout, it was Luther that started the shout. It's a message. Hallelujah. And that is the restoration ministry. Let me correct you again. All of us, intermediate believers, including me, we have taught that the ministry of William Branham is the shout. And that the midnight of Christianity is the Laodicean church age. I have taught it wrongly. It is wrong. The shout was the restoration of the three works of grace. The shout was to come out from somewhere, come out of the dark ages. And the shout started with Martin Luther. It moved again to the next stage. Hallelujah. Of the restoration. The second works of grace. Luther restored justification. John Wesley, and that is a continuation of the parable, verse 44 of Matthew chapter 13. We read it last week. Then verse 45 is John Wesley. He restored sanctification, holiness without which you will not see God. That is in verse 45, the fulfillment of the parable in verse 45. Then in verse 47 is another revival. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So that is a separation process going on there. There was a revival. So shall it be at the end. Let's read on. Of the world, the angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. John Wesley restored sanctification. And we know that in 1906, the gifts that were killed totally for almost 1,000 years, no vision, no prophecy, no healing, no miracle, no gift or word of knowledge, nothing, it was killed by the product of that measure that corrupted the three works of grace. These gifts were restored in 1906 in Azusa Street. Every Pentecostal man knows it. That produced the Pentecostal movement that we have till today. And it was a black man that God used. William Branham referred to him as the one-eyed Negro. That was William Seymour. He is the one God used. It's not William Branham that God used. Praise the Lord. It's not William Branham that God used. The Revival started in 1906. William Branham was born in 1909. It started before William Branham was born. But this is where you will find the ministry of William Branham in verse 51 and verse 52. Matthew 13, verse 51 and verse 52. It says, Jesus said unto them, have you understood all these things? They said unto him, yea, Lord. Then said he unto them, therefore every scribe, he mentioned a scribe, which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven, is like unto a man that is an householder. What does he do? He bringeth forth out of his treasures things new and old. The perfecting ministry. Every one of those reformers, between Luther, the period that Luther's ministry started, and the Pentecostal age, there were other reformers that also caught one revelation or the other that a Christian is supposed to have, like eternal security, the doctrine of predestination. There were other men in church history that God used. But the problem they had was that each of them denominated around the light they saw and rejected other revelations. William Branham is not the one that brought water baptism in the name of Jesus. William Branham is not the one that brought the Godhead that there is no Trinity. No. There is a group that they call Oneness. They baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even before the ministry of William Branham started, they rejected the Trinity. They believe in the oneness of God. But these same people, they rejected the gifts that the Pentecostals brought. So they will not accept speaking in tongue and the miracle signs and wonders. But they had their light. The Baptists had their light. John Calvin had his light. And all the rest, you all know church history. But, hallelujah, when it was time for the perfecting ministry, total restoration, only one man was given that ministry in this age. And that is the ministry of William Marion Branham. He is the one, you will hear him tell you, I am a Baptist, Presbyterian, Wesleyan. He said he is this, he is that. You know, what he's actually saying is that he believes in predestination. He believes in oneness. He believes in baptism in the name of Jesus. He believes in this, he believes in that. And they are all various denominations. And he come and tell us, you cannot accept one and reject one. They are all part of the apostolic doctrines. And God sent him to return us back to the apostolic faith, to the totality of the word of God. And that is why, praise the Lord, you see us, we don't ordain women pastors. That's why we don't have headquarters and branches anywhere. That's why we don't, hallelujah, do all the things you see them do out there with the spirit of error that caught them. Praise the Lord. So the shout is to restore the corrupted mill. Total restoration of the church. And all this, amen, is in the third seal. Is the revival that you see there. And he warned them, you should not touch that revival. What he's saying there is, nothing will stop that revival, because that revival will end with the rapture. That revival is the beginning of the rapture. So we can confidently say the rapture has started. Because the rapture starts with the shout. And if you don't respond to the shout and come out of error, come out of denominational system, come out of the Catholic system, come out of total error, amen, you will never make in the rapture. And I have proved that to you. I have proved it to you. When life goes, when life lives and moves forward, where life is always green in the plant that grows. Because the life that is going to produce the seed for the rapture has moved to the next stage. And you are still sitting down here, your denominational doctrines, when light has moved. What happened to where the light lives? It becomes brown, ready to dry, no life again, because life has moved to the next stage. You are supposed to add sanctification to justification. You are supposed to add again baptism of the Holy Ghost to sanctification, so that where you stand, you are justified. Hallelujah. And then you are glorified. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. By the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You cannot accept justification and reject sanctification and expect to go in the rapture. The foundation of the gospel was a total foundation, clean and strong foundation. And no other foundation can any man build. That is why, praise the Lord, I say it again, that we don't have the ministry of any living apostle now. I have proved that before, and all the apostles are angry at me because it is not about the work they are doing, it is by the title they are looking for. So when I say there's nothing like apostle, did I stop you from preaching or doing ministry work? I didn't stop you from doing ministry work. I only stop you from confusing us by bearing a wrong title. I'm only saying the work you are doing is not the work of an apostle. You are doing the work of an evangelist. You are doing the work of a teacher. That does not make you an apostle. That you are going about establishing churches everywhere does not make you an apostle. You are doing the work of an evangelist. It's an evangelist that goes everywhere with the word of God and plants them everywhere. And they are angry. And some of them are so confused until them alone bear two titles. Apostle, prophet. Amen. And they have confused the church of Jesus Christ to think that those titles have anything to do with salvation. It is the title or position in your church, not the church of Jesus Christ. The church of Jesus Christ has only six offices. We have apostle, you have a prophet, you have evangelist, you have a pastor, you have a teacher, and you have a deacon. Any other one, now you give yourself. Praise the Lord. And I'm not quarreling with you, but I'm telling you that we are not confused. The bride is not confused. It has nothing to do with the church of Jesus Christ. You are not more anointed than ordinary me, ordinary pastor, because you are Reverend Doctor. There is no anointing that is bestowed that makes you to jump from ordinary pastor to Reverend Doctor. Nothing like that. Nothing like that. So you have bishop. Then you have archbishop. And they are conferred with ceremonies. Ceremonies. And they are hearing me now, and their followers are getting angry because they have them as their idols. If you are angry because I say there is nothing like archbishop in the Bible, you are an idolater and you're on your way to hell, except the mercy of God turns you back. The only reason why you want to bear the title of apostle is because you want to establish another foundation. The foundation of the Christian faith is the apostolic ministry. And this is it here. Hallelujah. That is the apostolic ministry. They have laid the foundation for the upcoming builders to build upon. A building cannot have two foundations. The church of Jesus Christ has only one foundation. And the foundation has been laid already. Oh, why is it, are we confused? That's why we're in the confusion that we are in today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And this is part of the shout we are shouting now. Then, when you have heard it, and you have responded, and you have come out, you must come out of the denominational system. Hey, I wish I have time to explain this. Come out there is not to change church address. It is understanding. Change your understanding. Change your understanding. Your understanding. Because you may be sitting down here with a denominational anointing upon you. You have only changed church address. We didn't say change church address. We didn't say move or redeem a Catholic church to Brother Assembly Jesha. No. We are saying come out of error. Come out of error. And they are coming out. Hallelujah. They are coming out. They are trimming their lamp. That is the wise virgins. To trim your lamp is to trim your revelation. Don't let your pastor keep you in any bondage. He refused to see correct water baptism. And you have repented. Amen. Go and look for a believing church nearest to you. If you don't know, phone us. You are hearing us now. In your location, we'll tell you who can baptize you. And the entire message is more than water baptism. The fact that somebody baptizes you correctly does not mean he's having a correct standing before God. There are other things that you will determine before you make him your pastor. I'm saying something. The fact that, look, the message is more than water baptism. When you go to a church and you see that they don't cover their hair, or everybody is covering their head, it looks like it. They baptize in the name of Jesus, it looks like it. Stay more. There are other things you should watch out for. Hallelujah.